What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 46 of Cinema Attack. That's right, happy Halloween, motherfuckers. That's right, in this house, DBougie86 here. And as always, I have my two creature features with me. We got the man, the myth, the legend, the man who rides those creature features hard. And he was the voice of Marvin the Martian last year. Matt, what's going on?
I'm good, Earthling. I'm not here to blow up the Earth. But I do need my Uranium-238 space modulator. Some really crazy rabbit took it.
Yeah. And as always, we have the man, the myth, the legend, Meatwad. What's going on, Meatwad?
What's going on, Dawes?
Imagine just doing the whole podcast with these voices.
Meatwad, how'd you think?
I don't know if I could do the whole entire movie, but
yeah, that
I could do my best.
So, Meatwad, how'd you feel about Shrek?
Fuck Shrek, man. I'm a donkey myself sometimes, you know?
Oh, W, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Much needed. Glad to be back with y'all, man. It's a Halloween party.
You know... Yeah, right. After, like, all the shit that's been going on, you know, it's always good to come back home to Cinema Attack. I always know I have a home here, you know. I'm just going to make a quick announcement for one of my other shows, because, you know, it was posted earlier, and it'll probably, if you guys haven't heard this yet, Celluloid Dissections is not going to be going forward. We had a long talk, me and Carly, about the format of the show and the just sometimes when you choose a movie, you have to be really in the fucking mood to watch certain movies. And I get it. I'm like that too. Like, I'm going crazy right now watching 2005 movies for 31 days. So I get it completely. And, you know, I kind of wanted to change the format a little bit altogether, especially after the 91 show. And, you know, we've been doing a lot of big, giant blockbuster shows. We were both part of the summer series where she had to watch 20 movies. Like, not even 20. She had to watch, like, 40 movies for that. I only had to watch 10 to prep for my part of that show. You know, so... And then 91, we had to watch how many fucking movies we watched for that. And we just got kind of burnt out and stuff. So we decided we're not going to... And, like, I didn't want nobody to think there was bad blood why the show hasn't been putting out any episodes. It's just, we're trying to create something special. And, you know, we have decided to create a new show, which I'm not going to announce yet what it's going to be about, because we just got to think of a name for it. You know, it's small, because it all happened today, pretty much, where we decided this. And, you know, I'm excited. It's actually something I'm kind of excited about doing, because as the guys know, me personally, it's a subject that I'm really big on.
Porn. And I
So Carly, how did you think about Darcy's porn there? You know,
that was a really big dick.
Oh, that's a call back to our episode on the Crying Game. Carly, what did you see? A penis. You know, but, they know me very well. I'll tell them a little bit more of it off air on break, what we decided to do. But, it's going to be exciting. And, you know, I'm kind of happy that it did happen the way it did. And, you know, there's no bad blood, and we're still going to move forward and try again, you know, try to get that passion back in some projects, which, you know, you get burnt out sometimes. And I'll tell you something. Oh, I'm getting burnt out on horror movies, guys. It's just probably because of the amount of shows and projects I've been part of lately that's been making me burnt out. And plus, I've been watching some really shitty movies for my 31 days of horror.
I watched a shitty one last night.
What was that?
Escape Room Quest of Fear.
Solid,
it was a Russian film, and it was so fucking bad. Oh, they had like Russian death metal playing in the background and just ruined it. It was acting was horrible. The story was stupid. What the fuck am I watching this? Oh yeah, to see if I want it in my collection. Nope, it's not in the collection anymore.
I actually watched a good one yesterday. Weirdly enough, though. Yeah, it's not really horror, though. I even say that in the video. But, you know, it kind of has, like, creatures. It felt like a very... It's only a 52-minute movie where it feels like a... Kind of like a Twilight Zone-esque project with, like, the story. I mean...
I almost bought that one, too. I decided not to.
There's actually a lot of cool... Because the guy who directed it, it's actually an American... who lives in Japan, Norman England.
Mm-hmm.
I actually heard a few interviews with him on some other like kaiju-esque podcasts because he actually starred in a few Godzilla films, Norman England, as, you know, American dude right there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's a love letter to Japan, pretty much. It's pretty much everything he experienced in Japan in the time period he lived in. And it's weird how many people have worked on the... Like, it's co-written by Jiro Kaneko, who's Shisei Kaneko's brother. If you don't know who Shisei Kaneko is, it's the guy who directed the Gamera trilogy in GMK.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, Kao Tani, who did the scores for both the Gamera trilogy and GMK, did the score for The Idol. And there's cool cameos in this movie, like... the homeless guy that appears in the movie is Chief Osaka from the Gamera trilogy. The bubbling police inspector. and the main character, Ken's girlfriend, is Kayako from the first few Grudge movies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm like, why does this girl look so familiar in my review today? I'm like, no wonder I recognize her and was like, didn't know who exactly who, because I'm usually seeing her on all fours doing a death rattle.
Wow.
Pretty much, right? You know, but, yeah, it's a very interesting movie for, you know, and I think it runs the right length for the type of movie, because it is a low-budget movie, you could tell, but he has a lot of people work on it, too, that are big in the industry from, you know, probably doing favors, because... Norman England also, as I was looking him up on IMDb, he actually was the subtitler for a lot of the Asian movies we watch. He actually does the English subtitles.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
You, like, that's translate cool. them?
Yeah, like Tokyo Gore Police he was on, and like, what's the other one? Zombie Ass Toilet of the Dead, the greatest movie ever.
That wouldn't be his job.
What'd you say, though?
I said that would not be an easy job.
No. It's not. For sure, especially with Zombie S.
Oh, God, that movie.
That would be a good commentary, too.
It would be a shitty commentary.
Oh, yeah.
Pun intended.
But, yeah, you know, you know what's weird? You know, with the 2005 watches I've been doing, my highest rated is Doom.
Oh my god!
Wow, really?
I love Doom.
Doom was actually it wasn't bad for a video game movie, that's for sure.
You know,
and it was at least rated R.
And it had The Rock as a bad guy before. This is still before he was still the Scorpion King during this time period.
He's still a heel.
You know, it was fun. You know, I was like, all I heard was terrible shit about the movie for years, and I watch it finally. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with people? People suck.
At least it's no House of the Dead video game movie.
Exactly. Oh, I gotta watch House of the Dead 2. It's 2005.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that. I know, I don't think I have it, but I know I.
It might be better. Who knows?
Yeah,
the first one's really bad, man.
It has Sid Haig and Sticky Fingers in it.
It might be better then.
Oh, maybe I did see. Oh shit, I'm getting confused now. If I seen that one or not? Because I get that one confused with Return of the Living Dead Part 4, Necropolis.
Oh, those are both 2005.
I remember Sid Haig being in the beginning with a naked woman, and he gets attacked. It was like a, I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah, it's a weird year. You know, you got like the shit I've been watching so far, like Beneath Still Waters, is Brian Hughes in a film from that year, which is actually kind of cool.
I haven't seen that. I'm a fan of Yuzna, though.
Yeah, the only problem with it, though, that I had, like, you could notice that, like, some of the actors' English wasn't their first language. And it kind of took me out of it, because every time I noticed, like, oh, hello there, how are you? I'm like, oh, my God. You know, it's just noticeable. It's like when you watch an imprint by Takashi Miike, and everyone's talking in English and phonetically. It's not their first language.
Right.
So it feels kind of awkward and kind of loses the performance of the actual actor. You know? But it's whatever. You know, I didn't take too many points. I really enjoyed it for what it was. You know, and, you know, I actually have another used and produced one from Spain called The Nun. Not confused with that other Nun movie.
Yep, I know which one you're talking about. I actually have that on DVD.
I just got the DVD in the mail, so I'm gonna. That's going to be my movie to watch later.
Nice.
Yeah. And like, weird. Yeah, I got a few. I actually got a. Not a 2005 movie, but I picked up one that Dubby knows recently. Too, like The Last House in the Woods.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going to be reviewing that one soon. I got Upgraded the Ruins, the Killer Vine movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually a fan of that one. Ben Stiller produced.
Yeah, I always say that. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Is that 05?
No, it's 08. I just pick up random shit. I'm actually reviewing a lot of 2000s movies. And you know what's fucking fucked? I gotta watch Hostel twice in the same year. Because for Duncan's Rules for the summer series, Hostel counted for 2006, and I was the 2006 adjudicator. So I had to watch it for 2006. But for the 20 shots rules, it's 2005.
Yeah, just watch it once and then just take some notes so you don't have to worry about it.
I only like two scenes in that whole movie, spoiler alert. And one is the Takashi Miike cameo.
That's nice.
But, yeah, that's about it, you know. Interesting, weird year. The Cavern was fucking terrible. I already probably mentioned that before. That's my worst watch so far. You know what's bad when I'm rating Man-Thing higher than some movies?
Oh, God, yeah.
Which I don't even mind. I know Man-Thing gets a lot of hate, but I think it's mostly because it's not like the comic book. And that's usually the things I hear about Man-Thing. When you ever hear, like, I was posting a picture and most of the comments was, doesn't do the comic justice. Like, gives a fuck.
Yeah, most comic book movies don't.
Well, if you're a big diehard fan of Man-Thing and they put out a movie, you kind of want it to be like that. Like, if Avengers was actually completely different, it wouldn't be as great as it was. Certain comics wouldn't be hiking up in price and fan people wouldn't be enjoying it. The same thing. There are Man-Thing fans out there, and that movie was pretty bad. And the way it looked, and the way how everything worked, I even have it on DVD. I think because Sci-Fi Channel was trying to cash in on the Marvel movies, and figured, well, we'll do a Marvel movie, and they did two of them that were really bad. They did Man-Thing, and they did a Thor movie.
Oh, yeah, I remember the Thor. Yeah, Man-Thing's,
I forgot about that.
Man-Thing's actually directed by Brett Leonard, which is weird, because he directed, like, The Dead Pit and Lawnmower Man.
Not bad.
And he also directed Feed the same year, which I heard is a fucked up movie. I can't wait to watch it from the title. But I didn't mind it, you know. Man-Thing actually looked pretty good. Like, you should rewatch it sometime, Matt. There's actually a lot more practical effects in it than I remembered.
Like, yeah, I kept it for sure because I liked the the way it was back then, so we'll see what happens on a real
life. Yeah, like I said in my review, because I was 100%, I never read the comic. It's pretty much a tropey creature feature, if you let enjoy, and we know how we all like those sometimes. You know, and that's the way I'm like, you have to go in with that mindset and not be like, it's not like the comic. You know?
It's like the movie Leprechaun Origins. If you watch it as a sequel to the Leprechaun movies, it's going to suck. But if you watch it as a standalone creature feature and just don't think about Warwick Davis at all, it's actually a not bad creature feature. But you can't watch it as a sequel.
Yeah, the only weird thing about that movie, though, is they hyped up Hornswoggle and anybody could have played that movie.
Well, the whole WWE thing was trying to hype it up.
Yeah.
Of course.
But you know what I mean.
It's weird. It's me, man. What about 2020? Is there any 2020 movies you've been watching?
Not really.
The direct-to-video ones.
Bill and Ted. Yeah.
Nah, I want to see that.
You rent it on Fandango now. I think it's only like $5.
I watched Fear Farm not that long ago.
That sounds amazing. Was it good?
Actually, it wasn't bad. I liked the way some of the killers looked. The masks were pretty cool. The storyline was different, and I did like the end. The end was pretty cool.
Yeah.
A different story.
Does it end with a farm, though?
It's not that kind of farm you're talking about. It's like how it's spelled. It's not that kind of farm.
I think I know what you mean now.
I'll tell you later after the show, because I don't want anybody to...
Or during break, either way.
Yeah, during the break.
Yeah. But, you know, I haven't... Like, I saw Tenet, too, which is definitely a movie people have got to pay attention to.
Yeah, I want to see that one. Nolan.
Yeah, Nolan. It's like... My parents went to see it with me. They're like, I don't get what happened. I'm like, it's Christopher Nolan, guys. You can't...
It's a mind fuck, yeah.
It's a dream within a dream, within a dream, inside limbo.
Oh, God.
You know what movie? Actually, I did watch Broil, too. Broil is a new one from Welgo, which is kind of like a horror fantasy vampire movie, which it kind of has, it's kind of like it's in the vein of like something like Would You Rather, where this group of people come to have dinner with each other, but they're all like vampires.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was all right. The one thing some of the music was kind of annoying the shit out of me, because it started doing like some weird Disney-esque happy music, and I'm like, why? It's like do 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 do. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I get it. They're trying to do that fantasy fairy tale shit. I'm like, what the fuck? And some of the CGI is a little bit wonky, but some of it was cool too. There was some practicals in there. And, you know, it was kind of funny seeing, like, the head of the families. Did you ever see the Walking Dead commercials with the dude, like, talking to the people fucking off camera, and it's like a contest fucking thing? Well, the dude who is in the commercials for those Walking Dead contests is actually the head vampire in this movie.
Oh, wow.
It was fucking cracking me up.
A newer one I watched that I was a fan of, actually watched 2 nights ago, Swallow. I don't know if you guys have checked that one out or heard about that one.
Carly was actually talking to me about that one. She liked it a lot, too.
Yeah, man, I was definitely a fan of that. It was fucked up and disturbing, but Haley Bennett with a great performance. And she's kind of an up-and-coming chick. She was in another film from this year that I've liked that was Devil All the Time.
Yeah. I know who the actress is. I actually just saw her, the girl on the train recently for They're Here. Because my actress spotlight was Emily Blunt for that show. So I checked out, and she's one of the leads in that movie.
Yeah, man, she does a pretty good job.
She's kind of hot, too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a fan. But Devil of the Tom, that was a great one, too, man. Tom Holland really killed
it. Spider-Man. We're going to be talking about Spider-Man later, too.
Yeah, man. Pattinson and Skarsgård, and there's Pennywise.
Pennywise versus Batman?
Yeah, man. Great cast, great performances. Definitely check that one out. Netflix.
Fuck yeah. I think Lacey was actually talking about, I had to still check that one out. Started The Five Bloods, the Spike Lee movie. It's a long one, but it's very interesting because it's about like this group of older Vietnam vets played by some great character actors, like, you know, the guy from The Wire, and fucking Delroy Lindo's in there, and actually one of the last roles for Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. That's pretty awesome to go out with a Spike Lee movie, though. I mean, what a great director to go out with.
Yeah, the story's kind of interesting so far. It's just a kind of a long movie, so I'm trying to break it up in parts, so it's not like the Irishman flashbacks, you know?
Right.
You know, and pretty much what the setup is, they go back to Vietnam to get their old, the guy that they buried there, his body back, then bring it back to the U.S. finally. So,
nice.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's about it for me, you know. There's movies that out there that I'm like, okay, this has Bruce Willis in it, skip. Bruce Willis, skip. Bruce Willis, skip. Like, I even said, I ranted on this on the show, but like, I'm not watching like fucking 25 Bruce Willis fucking movies that from direct to video, you know? I'm like, fuck that shit, you know?
Yeah, no need to waste your time on some things. You like, that's not making my top 10, you already know.
Some trailers I'm excited for. I kind of want to see Monster Hunter, even though it looks ridiculous. Yeah,
same here.
You know, like it has Mila Jovovich and Tony Jaa.
I want to see that on the video game. Film.
Which one?
Love and Monsters.
Oh, I heard that.
It reminds me of like a Zombieland kind of, where instead of zombies taking over, monsters take over. The guy's trying to find his girlfriend and everything.
Yeah, it's on Hulu, isn't it? Monsterland?
No. This is called Love and Monsters.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, Lacey actually saw this in theaters, and she gave it like a 5. Well, she does her ratings a little bit different. You know, it's kind of like the Netflix scale, but she gave it like a 5 out of 5. She really liked it.
Okay.
Nice.
And, that's what I saw the trailer for that one, and, you know, did you guys see the trailer for that new Nick Cage movie?
Which one?
Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, my God.
It looks fucking amazing. It's pretty much, there's this alien, it's kind of like Predator, but it's a ninja.
And he fights it?
Everybody fights it. He gets a group of people together. Like, and guess what? Tony Jaa's in this movie, too. It's Nicolas Cage and Tony Jaa fighting this alien ninja.
Poor Tony Jaa, man.
And, you know, it's fucking great. And he's like, Nicolas Cage at the end of the trailer, I can fly, too. And here's a flip.
Okay. I gotta see this.
You should just put it on now. Let's just do a live trailer reaction. Fuck it. Do it now. Search Jiu-Jitsu.
I can't do it on my laptop because I'm afraid
I can do it and share my screen out here.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
Jiu-Jitsu trailer. Official trailer. Alright. Get you some ads first.
It's moving on its own.
You know what I don't understand? How the hell are you still alive?
All right. Can you hear anything?
Must have been a pretty bad fall.
Y'all hear it there?
The comet you see in the sky right now passes over the Earth every 6 years and causes a portal. When it's open, we get a visitor from a distant galaxy. The poet warrior in the sci-fi sense.
Nope.
The spaceman. He comes here looking for a fight with you, the chosen jiu-jitsu. If he doesn't get it, he stays and he kills everything. That is Alien Politics 5 from 15. Now you are all the chosen jiu-jitsu fighters. But as long as you die bravely, no one else will have to. He's crazy, like me.
He's crazy like me.
There's no honor in killing crazy. I can fly too.
That's your
like, do you put that in your horror section, or do you put that in your martial arts section? Where do you put that?
Put it in Jamaica Plain.
Oh, that's Tom Sherry.
Kind of the trailer kind of reminded me of what was it, that Asian film Alien versus Ninjas, I think it was.
Oh my god, I remember the scene that like somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
Fucking, it's so funny. Fucking that, you know. What's the other one that I've seen? Fuck, what was it? Oh, did we ever talk about the Batman trailer? Did you guys watch that trailer?
No.
No.
It looks fucking amazing. But we'll do that at some other time because we got a lot of shit to do. As usual. And yeah, this is our Halloween show, and you know.
It is, man. Happy Halloween, guys.
Yes.
You know, it's going to be like a boring-ass Halloween, but at least we're staying safe.
Yeah.
I'm going to a party.
Are you?
Yep. I'm going to a friend's house. We have a bunch of people over. We're saying fuck it. As long as we wear masks.
Yeah.
I hear you there. Keep my distance. Or I'm locked and loaded.
Oh, that's what I should dress up as. The COVID commander. Almost like a Cobra Commander type style, but he's the COVID commander. Have a stick six feet away. You must be 6 feet. You must be 6 feet away. Got my idea now. Oh, yeah.
COVID Commander, I love it.
I will be a drunk that day.
Yeah, me too, no doubt.
I thought you said you were going to be dressed as No Doubt. Hey, baby, bossy, bossy. Oh,
nobody wants to see that, wing. Man. Nobody wants to see that, including me.
Oh, you know, I've been doing that Reface app. I'm going to make Dubby Gwen Stefani later.
Oh, God.
Why not? It should be hilarious. I love the one I made of JP as tattoo. That's still my favorite one. The plane. It's weird because I actually talked about tattoo earlier in another, like I guessed it on podcast under the stairs recently. Talked about Malatesta's Carnival of Blood too.
Nice
tattoo. Yeah, Halloween though. Fucking, we picked three different movies. Very different. Very, very different. Two of them could be a good double feature though. And one of them is just like, I was a thing, and I have a theory about how my movie that I chose came to be. And I want you to hear about that movie, that theory, once I get into it when we do it. But, yeah, we picked, Matt picked Bloodfest. Correct, Matthew?
Yep.
Debbie picked Haunt.
Yes, sir.
And I picked Trick, a.k.a. Trick Loves the Kids, a.k.a. Trick Daddy, a.k.a. Tricks of the Kids.
Maybe because I'm a thug. I had to throw it in there.
But yeah, this should be a fun show. There's going to be a lot of fun shit said about these movies. Funny and, you know, some serious shit too. But, you know, we're going to keep it loose and goose in this episode and just have fun. And, you know, if we hated the movies, we're going to tell you right out and be like, fuck this movie. This movie sucks. Or if we like it, it's fucking good, but still, fuck this movie.
Wow.
Because that's just the mood I'm in today. But anyways, guys, I say we take
a look. 0 out of 10, Derek.
I'm changing. You gotta be like on Frankenweenie levels to make me give you a 10 now.
Nice.
You gotta make me fucking bawl my eyes out, you know. But anyways, let's take a little break, and we'll be right back after this trailer, and Matt will be back with Bloodfest. Sound good?
Sounds good.
So we'll be right back after these messages. Peace.
Maybe we should double back and find a different route.
Let's keep moving.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Rule number one is don't split up.
You don't think we're gonna wake the dead?
Maybe.
There's no such thing as zombies!
Bloodfest is the greatest horror event of all time.
Nice tonight to let go of the reins, you know, get a little crazy.
She's the one I will lay with tonight.
Wanna make a horror movie to end all?
Best night of my life.
Walsh made everything real. The monsters, everything.
Oh my God! If you know the rules, you just might make it.
Vampires, zombies, slashers.
The clowns I found on Craigslist.
We've got a dozen horror movies between us and actually surviving this mess.
We need to come up with a plan.
Jesus, if the virgin, I'd probably have a fighting chance.
You're not a virgin.
Dork.
I think we're going to be safe, all right? The windows are all secured. The door is locked.
There's no way in.
Excuse me.
This is what horror gets us. Horror begets horror.
Boom. Boom.
So much blood.
There's three ways a horror movie ends. One, a single hero survives. Two, no one survives.
What's the third?
Help us!
Let's go find out.
I'm sorry, but I'd kill your ass!
Woo! My vape's dead. Perfect night.
Okay, guys, we are back. I hope you enjoyed the trailer for Bloodfest from 2018. This movie... Let's see. Yep. I gotta read out the Blu-ray because I can't access IMDb on my laptop right now because I have a little broken button issue. So anyway, fans flock to a festival celebrating the most iconic horror movies only to discover that the charismatic showman behind the event has a diabolical agenda. The festival attendees start dying off. Three teenagers more schooled in horror film cliches than practical knowledge about neutralizing psycho killers must band together and battle throughout various madmen and monstrosities to survive. Burr, burr, burr.
Nice.
All right, guys. What are your thoughts on this film? Debbie, you go first.
Man, I mean, overall, this is a fun time, man. I love the overall premise. I mean, I think all three of us guys would be down to go to a festival like this with a cool theming of all these different horror films. I mean, it's a horror fan's dream for sure. And, you know, the fact you're kind of following your main character is this awesome horror fan taking place in, you know, his movie store that he works at with his friends. They're all big movie buffs.
That movie store is fucking sick. All that shit that's all over the walls and everything.
Oh, man, yeah. Like, that's one of those scenes you can go just rewind a couple times just to look around that store. That is a huge store. It's very nice. But that's what I'm saying. It's just so relatable right off the bat and draws me in. I have a great, just fun time with this flick, man. I love this one.
Nice. Derek?
I really enjoyed this. It was actually a first time watch for me, this one. You know, it opens with this great, like, HD, like, the weird thing is they're watching White Zombie on, like, a flat a tube TV, and it looks like it's in HD.
Mm-hmm. Which they're watching the Blu-ray.
You know, but it's on, like, a regular TV. I'm like, what? This is weird. You know, but weird. It was kind of funny. But,
Kane, you know, breaks then we get, the house.
We get fucking Love Potion number 9 guy himself, Tate Donovan, Hercules. The voice of the Disney Hercules is in this movie. So I'm like, I didn't expect that to happen right away. And then, you know, it goes into the future and, you know, then we see the kid from Spider-Man Homecoming, his friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is cool. And the weird thing about this movie is, did you ever see any of Owen Egerton's other movies?
No. I've heard of Rooster Teeth, though.
Owen Egerton did the movie Follow that was on Shudder a few times ago. It's like that. It's kind of an art house Christmas horror movie.
Follow? Never heard of that one.
It's on Prime right now, I think. It's totally different. It's very art house.
Ugh.
And it's weird because he did this one after that. And this one's fine, but I'm like thinking to myself, wow, you know, even with like the twists and shit, I'm like, these assholes are fucking, how much, they would have been caught right away, you know, like, how could people get away with this shit? You know, you got to shut your brain off to that. You know, I did. But in the back of my head, I was thinking that, like, wow.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely has its Looney Tune moments, and that throws it out the window as far as logic goes. And
like, yeah. When you had the first kills at Bloodfest, it's in front of everybody, and everyone thinks, oh, it's fake, you know, we're in a horror convention type whatever event. Yeah, everyone's cheering. And then the chainsaws come out, and you're like, oh, shit, this is actually legit.
Speaking of Owen Egerton, again, he actually plays the ringmaster. He actually plays Anthony Walsh, the guy who's running Bloodfest, too.
He does a pretty good job, man, actually.
Yeah, I liked his character.
He has no soul, though, because he's a ginger.
I like how they're kind of following their on-screen hero from the Arbor Day films. I like the Arbor Day premise.
That guy's cool. My favorite character.
Yeah, man. He did a good job. And he's like a scaredy cat and hates horror, basically. And he plays their favorite fucking slasher.
Yeah, did you know that's kind of based off of Tony Moran's character a little bit from Michael Myers?
Huh.
When Tony Moran first played Michael Myers, he hated the character. He didn't want to play it because he hid behind a mask, pretty much. He wanted to be, you know, his face out there. But he didn't want to do part two at all. That's why he's not in Halloween part two.
Oh, fuck wow. Tony Moran. It was Nick Castle played the shape most of that movie.
I know, but Tony Moran was part of it too.
Yeah, he was just the guy that when they took his mask off during the last scene. He wasn't. Fuck that dude. Fucking Nick Castle. Nick Castle all day. Fuck that dude. He always goes to fucking conventions trying to make money off that one scene. Well, tell him how you really feel, Derek.
Yeah, Derek. Holy shitballs. But, yeah, I love how they do that whole Arbor Day when meeting the character. Because sometimes when we go to conventions, some of the actors are kind of like that.
Yeah.
I don't watch my films, or I'm not going to say the same line that made me famous, blah, blah, blah. And you kind of get let down, but then all of a sudden, sometimes you're at that convention again, you meet them again, and all of a sudden they're awesome. You're like, hey, what the hell happened? But I like the whole, they mention a lot of Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween. They mention like the big names. And of course, their main movie was Arbor Day. And the Killer Gardener, meeting with trees.
Yeah.
Oh, that scene's great when he's trying to be the fucking killer's father. Tommy. I'm like, ooh.
How ironic being killed in my own movie. You definitely see a lot of nods in this film. Nods to, like, Saw. You have nods to, like, Evil Dead. The zombies with Night of the Living
The Grudge. None. Yeah.
Yep.
Vampires. It was kind of cool how they explained how they made vampires real in this world.
And how they actually made zombies with the electrodes and everything. That was pretty cool.
It was pretty.
I appreciated that it actually tried to make a backstory, and it even did that with the, you know, homicide killers. It's like if we basically locked them in a room and made them watch Halloween over and over.
And we got the clowns on Craigslist.
Yeah, I love that. That's a good line.
And they were the craziest fucking clowns, too.
Oh, my God. But I also liked when he was actually making this as a movie for himself. And when they said, you know, the people got out of their certain zones, it's like, who doesn't like a good mashup? Let's see what we get. And I thought that was kind of neat, too. It's like, usually they're all like, oh, my God, I'm freaking out because the plan is not going the right way. But it's like, yeah, let's mash it up a little bit.
He's like, this is like Jurassic Park, yo.
You always get those weird ass low budget films, zombies versus Frankenstein, or like Bigfoot versus zombies, and like all this other shit. All right, we'll have zombies versus clowns.
Why not?
Why not? The mashup.
You know, and then there's fucking crazy. How'd you guys feel about the twist?
It was different.
Yeah,
it was weird.
The ending was a little flat. I feel like the after credits part, I mean, it was kind of a nice little add to it, but I feel like the ending was a little flat. It's like, oh, okay.
Did you see both ending credits scenes?
Yeah.
Kind of left open for that cliche sequel that we'll probably never get, so.
Yeah, the thing with me, though, with the ending is, like, I kind of agree with W. It is kind of a little bit flat, because it's kind of, it should have ended a little bit quicker than it actually does, I feel.
Mm.
That makes sense. It kept going, especially like, let's go get a truck. Let's have a montage scene. You know, it should, especially after fucking Spider-Man dude gets fucking bit and killed, you know.
Yeah, and when Rain ends up coming going down, and like, you kind of feel like it could wrap up around there even, but. But I understand what you're saying. It's like there's just so many nods and stuff that makes it enjoyable and fun time, but there's still things they could have done with the story to tighten it up and just make it a little overall better character arc and story. Minor complaints.
Yeah, and my only other complaint is Robbie K as Dax. This is weird. I know I'm bad at this. All he was fucking saying is, why is fucking Peter Pan from Once Upon a Time in this movie?
I was thinking Pirates of the Caribbean, too.
He was in that, too. Yeah. Fucking,
one of those.
Fucking, you know, it's fucking weird, but, you know, I was like, Peter Pan, huh? He was in another movie I watched a few years ago called Cold Moon, and I said the same thing. That movie has the weirdest cast ever. I'm like, why is the dude from The Collector hanging with Peter Pan?
I'm a big fan of Kirill, though. I liked his character. I thought he was pretty fun.
Yeah, he was my favorite. Like, that's what I'm saying. They should have kept him a little bit longer if they were going to extend the ending.
Yeah, he was the most likable character.
Here's the thing, though. With horror movies, what happens when you have sex? You die. So what happens? He gets laid, finally.
Right.
Time for him to go.
That's true.
Yeah, which is sad though, because we all like, he was a good character. He was that friend.
Yeah, and he got banged by Ashley.
What a way to go, though.
Oh yeah, you know, it was weird seeing Zachary Levi play himself in this movie. Shazam, Shazam's in this movie.
Yes.
He's like, all my friends are dead. You're such a hunk.
I loved you, Entangled. I have magical hair too. And he's like, what's wrong with this bitch?
It's a fun movie though. It's a good, like, this was like one of my favorite watches out of these three.
For sure. I love the music in this too. Even after the credits music, it's kind of like that, I don't know, techno type
music. Yeah. Almost industrial.
Yeah.
Just fits this kind of vibe too, for sure.
It does.
The festival environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bloodfest. Fuck yeah, good movie.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Alright, let's rate this bitch. Dubby.
Alright. So, yeah. I mean, we touched on a lot of things on this one. I mean, as a horror fan, you gotta love the all these nods to the subgenres and tips of the hat. You know, same way I think fans of like A Cabin in the Woods or any fan, you know, any movie like that, they're definitely going to see things here they're going to like. Like I said, maybe the character arc as far as the whole story just falls a little flat for me, and some of the jokes maybe fall a little flat, but it's still overall really fun time, man. Enjoyed, like I said, the Creel character and just the overall scenery and atmosphere, man. Great setting, the festival environment, fun time. I'm going 7.5 on this one. Bloodfest, good time.
Nice. All right, Debbie?
You mean Derek?
I mean Derek. I'm tired.
I can run it back, dude. I can run it back.
It's all good in the hood. It happens. I do it all the time.
Derek.
Okay. Derek. I like Bloodfest. It was a fun time, yo. It had a good story, fun characters. I like the setup. I like the ideas that they did with this movie. And, you know, I like how, like, even though some of the shit was ridiculous in it, they kind of tried to still kind of explain things, how they were, like, dead corpses were walking around and shit, instead of it actually being like actual dead corpses, they actually made them move. I did like that aspect of it. You know, a few long-winded scenes here and there, but overall, very entertained. I give it like an 8. I really enjoyed it.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed this one a lot. Very nod to horror fans. Just goofiness. We got a lot of good blood going on. People getting ripped apart. A lot of nods to different genres of horror. Like, you have parts that make nod to The Ring, to the Nun, Saw, like a whole bunch of things. So they kind of did their research. And I also enjoyed how they incorporated the whole, like, going crazy part at the end. Like, how they would, they said, well, how are they going to make everybody go nuts? It doesn't make sense. And then they showed that. I'm like, oh, that's a good way. And how they incorporated the main character's family in it as well. So overall, I give this one an 8 out of 10 as well. I had a great time with it. A lot of fun. I definitely recommend it.
Nice. Nice. Hell yeah. Fuck yeah. Good shit. Debbie, are you ready to talk about some haunt, yo?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll be back right after this trailer, and we'll be right back right after these.
Come on, hit me up for that thug. Yeah, that's like that. Hit him in the chest with it. One time. One time again in the head. The Buddy Roll, y'all. Check it out.
I don't know, but this world's gonna end. But I know one thing, that this is the life for me.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
I'm big headed.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Wouldn't change for this.
check it out. Could it be my baggy jeans or my gold teeth that make me different from y'all? Ain't tripping, dog, but listen, dog, I'm already different from y'all. Doing my thing, using my ghetto slang, and I represent thugs. She's who I roll with, watch them niggas that gon' love this. Niggas who I don't burn, on the run, I got 10 years on parole. Can't say it, dog, I'ma say it for y'all. Motherfuck the popo. Fuck the judge, the CEO. Fuck the DA and PO. Fuck the family of the victim, witness, and stitching asshole.
I don't know what this world's gonna be, but I know one thing, that this is the life for me.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Oh, thanks, Eddie.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Wouldn't change for the world.
Cause I'm a thug.
That's right, you heard.
Baby, cause I'm a thug. Check it out. See, I'm so tight. Niggas be like, that nigga got so many hoes. And I know he got clout. Look in his mouth. That nigga got so many dough. Many goals. Tell him they hoes. It's something up with that nigga. Bitch, I've been watching you, watching him. You must wanna fuck this nigga. My name alone. Been known to break up half the home. No disrespect, all, but you ain't had no business even answering her phone. If your asshole being hit her, kid been getting it on. And you could have been hitting the right, cause ever since the night she been hitting the phone. She wanna thug.
I don't know what this world's gonna be, but I know one thing, that this is the life for me.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Of this and
it. Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Wouldn't change for the world.
Cause I'm a thug.
That's right, you know.
Baby, cause I'm a thug. Check it out. Since y'all niggas wanna smoke blunts, poke guns, I'ma show you how to thug it, dog. And then I have a pill and some Zephyr, and I'm like, fuck it, dog. Long as my ecstasy got the best of me, and none of you niggas ain't stressing me. I got one request, and it's bitch. And you can have the rest of this shit. If a nigga drop some shit, it's whack as hell, and don't make no damn sense. Take it back, talk about it, and tell your dog, don't even buy that shit. And I don't care who he is, away from, I represent thug shit. And you ain't gotta give me my props to nominate me, cause damn it, I love this.
I don't know what this world's gonna be, but I know one thing, that this is the life for me.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Of this and it.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Wouldn't change for the world.
Cause I'm a thug.
That's right, you heard.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Yeah,
check it out.
I don't know what this world's gonna be, but I know one thing, that this is the life for me.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Of this and it.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Wouldn't change for the world.
Cause I'm a thug.
That's right, you heard.
Baby, cause I'm a thug.
Yeah,
check it out.
Not be ignored.
Yes, we're doing it.
It's the end. Say goodbye.
Is this supposed to be scary?
We just want to leave.
want to see my face?
What is up, y'all? We are back with your second Halloween-themed film of the night from 2019. It is a Shudder exclusive from directors Scott Beck and Brian Woods. This is Haunt. Actually got producer credits for Eli Roth as well, and Todd Garner, kind of some bigger names. But anyways, your basic plot on this one, on Halloween, a group of friends encounter an extreme haunted house that promises to feed on their darkest fears. The night turns deadly as they come on to the horrifying realization that some nightmares are real. So yeah, what is your guys' initial thoughts on Haunt from 2019? Derek.
It's okay. I like this movie.
Yeah, that's fair. That's my immediate thought was like, yeah, it's okay.
These characters are so fucking stupid.
Yes.
They do some stupid, man. They're so stupid. Like when they're meeting that Mitch character through half the movie, I'm just thinking to myself, why the fuck are you following this dude? He works for the fucking crew. Do you expect it, and you want him to go second?
Yeah.
Fucking stupid motherfuckers in this movie. Stupid. But it has some great kills. That's what saves this movie.
Yeah.
Like when that girl gets hit in the... Well, that person gets hit in the fucking face with the fucking... Devil's Blade or whatever the fuck that thing is called. I work at Home Depot. I should know what it's called, but I don't at the moment. Because I'm still pissed about Tony Moran. But, you know... some great kills. Some good stuff, you know. And weird makeup choices for the characters, which I'm kind of wondering why it's never really explained why they look the way they do. They just do, though.
Well, they kind of do near the end when they have that one guy saying, I gotta earn my face. So I think it's kind of like they self-mutilate themselves and hide behind a mask.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that's why he has to earn it. He has to earn what he needs to do to become one of them.
But they're all like
they probably got piercings and body modifications to the face and to make them undesirable. That's why they work in these haunted attractions type things. That's my guess. That's what I took from watching it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I like the basically the overall premise, though. I mean, they're going to one of these extreme haunted houses, which I don't know if most of these people might be familiar of them, but, you know, there's some that you have to sign waivers and they're more hands-on and they can touch you or just more graphic. They might even have nudity or blood in some of these haunted houses that you can go to now.
It's not like the Candy Manor or anything like that.
Right. That's probably the most extreme, but there's a, what's it like, Blackout?
Blackout's the other one.
Yeah, there's a few like that, but which are interesting to me. I don't know if I would be interested in doing one like the extreme. I like the traditional walk-through haunted house, pop-out animatronics or people or whatever, but
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about the extreme, honestly. But anyways, that's what these guys are expecting going into, and then they come into like some Saw situations where people are actually chained up and getting fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, in high school, I actually worked in a haunted house for a summer. Not a summer, like a fall. It was my senior year.
That's
the
cool.
Best time I've ever had was that during my senior year, which is sad, but.
Yeah.
But I had so much fun. Like the next day, my throat would be so sore I couldn't talk in school.
Yeah, I never worked at a haunt, but. You know, after watching like movies like Hell House LLC, I kind of don't want to now.
Yeah.
You know.
They put me in this one room that had a black light, and I had to wear a giant werewolf outfit. So the light would hit me. I would glow luminous, you know, freaky. It was like a bathroom. So when the tour guide came out, he would flash the light at the door. And that was my cue to jump out, you know, roar, shake the cage and whatnot, whatever. Well, these punk kids come through, and I do the skit, jump out, roar, and they're like, you know, being dicks. So I'm like, fine, I'm going to have some fun. I took the cage, I threw it to the side, like I just threw it. It was a big metal cage, this metal door, just threw it. And I just came out of the cage, like, roaring. They nice. Fell down and started crying. One booked it backwards. So the tour guide had no clue what to do. He's like, So he starts flashing me with a flashlight. He goes, get back, beast. So I kind of do the cowering and everything, and I pick up my cage, and I throw my hand out like a cowering animal and walked away. At the end of the tour, everyone came out and goes, what the fuck did you do? I thought, oh, shit, I'm in trouble. And I told them, and they go, do it more.
Nice.
It sounds like the best thing they saw. Like, you got to do that some more. I'm like, okay.
Everybody was talking about the wolf man afterwards.
Yep.
They got out. I'm like, that's the shit.
My mom went through it with my nephews, and she goes, oh, there's Matt. I'm like, serious?
Oh, ruined the whole bit.
Well, it's just my mom and my two nephews, so therefore, there was not a big group.
Yeah.
But still, I'm like, how did my mom see me in all this fucking fur? But she knew it.
That's funny.
That was funny as hell.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. They're like, do that again. I'm like, okay, do that again. I made some people cry. I made some people run back the other way. That's the best. When you scare them that good and they take off running, you know you did good. And I said, my throat was sore for like 3 days. They're like, can you come back to work tomorrow? I'll try.
Imagine that dude who... That's kind of like that dude who did all the voices on the Night of the Demons movie. He did all the demon voices.
Yeah.
You know, like,
water inside there.
Frog in his throat.
Yep.
Oh.
Would I do that again? Abso-fucking-lutely.
Haunt.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, too, just the way... How was it? It's not like an awesome flick. It's not like... It's all right. It's pretty good for what it was.
Yeah, people were blowing the fuck out of this movie when it came out.
Yeah, man. That's what really hurts this one. This is why I picked this one. This was a first-time watch for me, and I've always wanted to get around to watching this. I was like, I finally want to watch this one. And I was slightly let down, honestly, overall, but... I was just going to mention there was a funny De Niro line when the guy was trying to unlock the locker. He got that, Derek. He was like, I'm not a property manager. Yeah, I'm not De Niro from fucking Heat. Heat.
Yeah. That line was funny.
I did like the end, too. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, it was decent. And like the build up to the that Pierce guy that was kind of like devilish. Which I think that was actually real piercings and shit. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, the sod fucking shotgun trap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, the violence is what really helps save this one for me. I mean, as far as because the characters and the premise is good, but the characters just generic, man. But the kills and violence are really good in this.
It's weird because it's from the same two because the directors of this are the same two that wrote A Quiet Place. So, you know, I'm watching this movie, and I actually watched a movie for 91 known as Haunted Ween, which a lot of people don't know about Haunted Ween because the director is the one who sells the DVD on his site. It's a lot of people, I think, seen Haunted Ween. And they made all these fucking movies that came out during this time period. They owed it to Haunted Ween. Because it's about a haunt, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like a house that October built.
Any movie owes it to Haunted Ween, because it's the first one.
Hell House.
Yeah.
Is it any good, that Haunted Ween?
I actually really liked it. It's low budget. Some of the acting's like... you know, it's like kind of like shot on video quality acting, and some of the, like the main chick, and it's like, I love you. I love you so much. Why don't you recognize my love? You know, it's like that kind of acting. Like,
you know, so you can get on the director's webpage?
I think so, yeah.
I'll take a look.
Well, I still have it on my computer from my illegal ways.
Well, you know me, I like to buy physical, so.
Yeah, I think you hauntedween.com or something. I'll look for the website later for you, too, if you can't find it. But, I'm like, when I'm watching a lot of these movies, it's like, now I'm like, Haunted Ween did this first. But, you know, it didn't, some of them did it a little bit better in some sense. And this one's just like, the characters are so unlikable in this movie to me. I feel bad for the main chick, but even so, he's like, I'm going to call my boyfriend. Why? It's fucking abusing you. Why the fuck are you going to call this piece of shit?
Right.
You know? Fuck that dude. He's the Tony Moran of this movie, that dude. You know? You know, fucking, it's weird in that sense. And yeah, this is definitely like, it's like a bouncing ball, this movie. It's like one bounce, it's good to me. So one bounce, I fucking hate this movie. But, you know, but overall, I still say people check it out, especially during this time period. You know, I'm not going to say don't check it out.
Yeah, and it's above average, but at the end of the day, it's still on the borderline there, for me, anyway. But
yeah.
I didn't mind it. I know, was it, Ronan's putting out a Blu-ray of it.
Yeah, fuck that. Did you see how they're charging like $50 for that fucking thing? What the, for Haunt?
It's a, what? It's a Blu-ray, but it's a soundtrack. You get 5 enamel pins. And you get something else. Even like just the enamel pins alone will cost you like $30-something right there.
You can get the American Blu-ray for $7.50 at Walmart.
Is there a Blu-ray of it?
It was a DVD.
Maybe it's a DVD. But...
yeah, this is a Blu-ray. It's exclusive to Ronin.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, they want 25 for like the standard edition and 70, like 50, 90.
But do you need Blu-ray for this film? Like,
no.
I mean, I'm just happy with it on fucking Shudder. I'm just...
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm happy with my $4.50 Shudder.
You still pay $4, yo? They've raised the dollar for me, yo.
It's like, I mean, $6. I do the yearly or whatever.
Oh, I get you, yeah.
So it's like cheaper.
You know, I gotta do that monthly shit or I'm fucking like, I'd rather know because then I don't know if I'll have like that much money during the.
No, I feel you. I definitely have to keep up with it, and I write notes in my calendar and shit.
Yeah, for sure. Haunt, whatever.
Yeah, man. Y'all want to get into reviews?
Yeah, you want me to go first?
Yeah, we started with you on thoughts, so let's start on reviews.
Yeah, Haunt. It's an okay movie. It has some great kills and some great gore in it. Some weird looking people. The thing that really hurts this movie is following these characters that are doing stupid decision after stupid decision instead of working with each other. Well, it looks like they're working with each other, but they're all fucking going out doing their own fucking thing. Hey, look, I found this guy, Mitch. He works here.
Jeez.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
No, kill that dude.
Yeah.
Do like Batman in the trailer that the guys haven't watched yet. Ground and pound. That's all I'm going to say. When you watch that trailer, you'll be like, oh, okay, that's awesome. But, yeah, you know, just fucking kill. Double tap. Fucking slaughter. Fight back. You have a poker. Use it. Fucking idiots. I give it like a 6 out of 10. You know. I still enjoy it. I can still fuck with it.
Nice. So, Matt?
Yeah, that's another one that... at least it's entertaining. It's not awesome. It's not awesome. It's not awful. It's the kills pretty much save the movie, especially with the bad decisions that they do and how they get there and everything. I do like the ending a lot. It gives you that good ending, that good feeling that I would definitely do that. If that was me in that situation, I would be doing that for sure.
Yeah.
And it played out well, but also it's nothing to be like overhyped on. I guess with a 6.5 out of 10.
Nice.
Very nice. Yeah, man, I'm really coming in about the same as you guys. The kills in Nas seems mostly practical. I mean, there's a few CGI moments that I caught, but it's pretty good on the gore factor. And like, it's just those generic character moments and like too many generic tropes. Like, how many people can drop shit? Like, the person lost the ring and lost the keys, and they were just doing like everything wrong in some of those situations. It was frustrating. You know, it's just like those little generic moments that just make it, that bring it down for me, but it's still a decent setup, premise, fun little Halloween haunt film. I'm coming 6.5 as well.
Nice. Nice. We move on to the haunt now, and we get right into the trick.
Nice.
I'm doing these puns like fucking terrible tonight, guys. Don't mind me. It's my anger for Tony Moran, you know. But but anyways, yeah, we'll be right back after this trailer. And we'll get right into my pick of the night. A movie I actually have reviewed before on Bloody Bits, and that is Trick. So we'll be back right after these messages, guys. Peace.
That's the sound of the hand.
That's what we call it. And God for the thugs too.
Money rolls.
From the top of the sunshine shining out. Work your wood grain. Let them twinkle and spin. Get you glass. Fix the coke in the hand. It's quite alright. Throw in the wind.
Call a green neck bone, eating ass nigga. Always wear my jeans baggy sack. Ain't no Florida, Georgia side Cadillac. Rolled up and spam a sandwich up. Sugar water, egg, mayonnaise sandwich. Share the room with my four more brothers. For one home phone, want no more covers. A little bad motherfucker. Always wrong and always in trouble. None of my teachers ain't like this. Make it so bad, pro hands said more like me. You brought it the way I did. You got to understand, trick love the kids. Candy, I'm a green nigga's loving this shit. And when a minute I act a fool, you don't like how I'm living, bitch, fuck you. That's right, I'm a rude ass nigga. Quick to do you, cut a fool ass nigga. Wearing that by the buck, 6'5", and the nigga can't fuck, plus the boy gets live. Right. Need no legs, wings, and short ties. Eat him up, then switch sides.
Hardcore, working time, my lord to the floor. Cure the endure with a loaded 4-4. Is your winning cry more for your fuck with nine? Disrespect, I'll disconnect your line. With a 6-watt, when shit's hot, you get shot. The fire, the fear, and you fuck with it not. The style and the grace, yeah, my space and my face. For me and my ace, I lay down the whole place. Recognize, this is a verbalized surprise. Fucking women run way wise. You go, oh, shows, old clothes, big old back rolls, that's all a nigga knows. Throw your elbows, I'm slicker than I suppose. Hoes on toes, so my jewelry froze. You know how it goes, these young niggas don't want it like that. Go off and get the gas, it's all a shit chat. Pass, so pass out, last, outcast, cold. Sticky so tricky to the trick, like trash. Low filler, a gold brother, flow from a old chiller. Come clean, look mean, but you ain't no killer.
Trick a lot of kids.
The sunshine, the wood grain. Get you glass, mix the coke in the hand, it's quite alright. Throw in the wind, put the throw in the wind. Sunshine in, with the wood grain, let the twinkle spin. Get you glass, mix the coke in the hand, it's quite alright. Throw in the wind, put the throw in the wind.
Yeah, we got
rims and all the drove, the drove and all the smoke. My throat, it makes me choke like a serial killer was squeezing on my throat box. In the clutches of danger, but not a stranger on the block. It's a cheapery, reaper beat, blowing my chest up. Beat, ride from the club, try my best not to mess up. A professor of this lyrical thing, I take the purest strain that is slang and inject it into your veins. Did your heart stop bang? Drop top fade. Aviator shades with a rear front fade. Moving through the dirty at a slow pill's pace. Kinda like the turtle and the rabbit in the race. To the finish line, I jumped a pair of Reeboks. So bright, so fresh, no white with no socks. Then I slipped on some of that over the wing. I punched it straight out the pack like a three beef of a lad. Dick, before you slack, yeah, you got to prepare it in Mac. Yeah, with your jacket over track. Dick, not intended for any illegal purposes like anthrax and smallpox and surplus to murderers. You got to understand, trick love the kids. Trick love the kids.
That's right, everybody. We are back, and this time around, I get to go last again, finally. It took a few shows, but I'm back tonight, you know. And I'm leading this out with a movie that came out 2019 also, coming near the October. I remember this kind of because I actually reviewed this movie on Bloody Bits when it was about to hit VOD with Moods. Me and Moods, I think Moods actually picked this one for us to do. And spoiler, it was one of the better Bloody Bits reviews we got, because sometimes those movies fucking suck. Fucking that one we reviewed.
True, yeah.
Yeah, you know. And that is Trick. Trick. Just Trick. You know, and this one has interesting people attached to it. I'll get a little bit more into something I think happened. It's directed by Patrick Lussier, and it's co-written by him and Todd Farmer. And if you know those two, they usually work together. They collaborate on like the My Bloody Valentine remake, Drive Angry, a few other movies. I think, what's the other one that he did? Dracula 2000, of course, the classic masterpiece with Gerard Butler as Dracula. Come on, Messengers. Guys. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The yeah, that one. Classic shit. Drive Angry is probably my favorite of their movies, though, because it's just Nick Cage. Did you guys ever see that?
Which one?
I haven't seen
Drive that. Angry.
Yeah.
Nick Cage escapes hell and goes to get revenge on a satanic cult that stole his granddaughter.
I gotta see that, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually not bad. And what's the guy there is the collector?
William Fichtner plays the collector, and he's like, he's gonna get sent to hell to get back Nick Cage.
And it has another actor from this film.
Yeah. Tommy motherfucking Atkins.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'll get a little bit more into that. I'll give a little plot synopsis. A no-nonsense detective tries to track down a mass murderer named Trick, who's terrorizing a small town. Wow, that is so small and bare minimum. There's way more to that movie than that, just that line. This film stars Omar Epps, who was in Dracula 2000. He's worked with Patrick Lussier before. It has a lot of people that we recognize. We have a weird, kind of weird role for Jamie Kennedy in this movie as a doctor. His long hair and balding head. No wonder he wasn't in the new Tremors movie. And we got Tom Atkins, like we said before, and, you know, a few other characters. Todd Farmer's actually in this movie, too. He plays one of the deputy Wayne in the movie. And now I'm going to tell you my theory about how this movie came about. When Rob Zombie didn't want to do Halloween 3. It was going to be Halloween 3. Miramax hired Patrick Lussier and Todd Farmer to write and direct a new script for what would be Halloween 3. It would be a direct sequel to Halloween 2, H2, of course, as we know it. And then that project never happened. So, my theory is this movie came about from their original script from Halloween 3, what was supposed to be Halloween 3, and they just changed it around and made a new character instead of Michael Myers. It'd be Trick.
It was a spiritual successor.
You know, in that sense where pretty much I think a lot of like the beginning of this movie was the shit they added to give like a fast backstory on the Trick character. I think what the Halloween 3 would begin would be like right after Michael Myers died, because he did die at the end of H2, supposedly, you know. And, you know, and that I kind of like that idea for a slasher. Like, when you think, especially how they made Myers more of a human character in those movies, mm-hmm. I could see this, the way that they did this, it makes sense in that sense where they would go that route. Spoiler alert, well, we'll get into it a little bit, but what do you think about that theory, and what do you think about this movie when you watched it?
Well, way to muddy up the Halloween fucking timeline even more. You know, adding in this, I could see that, man. I really could. After you say that, it kind of opens my eyes even a little more as you say that, really. But I overall enjoyed it, man. A thing about Trick, I liked his overall look. You know, it wasn't the most original per se, but it was still cool and had the Howling mythos to it. He was such a fucking assassin, man. Like, the way he killed was just so precise and, like, overkill and aggressive. He was like a fucking ninja. Like a ninja slasher. That was the thing about the Trick. Is he not, though? Like, he was so fucking overkilling these motherfuckers.
He was killing them after they were dead.
Yeah, man. Like, that is the thing about this. As a slasher, it's really mean-spirited, and he definitely gets it done.
like that whole opening scene too, like he's just going at their motherfuckers like
right away. Opening scene, man,
right in that party. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, just at a party and you don't really see it coming, just gore fest out of nowhere,
spend the
everybody's
night
having a good time.
Matt, did you see this before, and what did you think about what I said about that?
Well, I never thought about the whole Halloween thing, so I thought that was really interesting. And when I first came out like on Blu-ray, I bought it, and I thought it was pretty neat how the story went. It was definitely a cool look of the character, and I kind of like how they tricked us at the end, hence the movie Trick.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
The old April Fool's Day technique.
Pretty much, but with actual deaths, not like an April Fool's Day where we get
no death.
Yeah.
But yeah, the kill. There's a lot of kills. The body count's high. It's brutal on some of the aspects. Holy shit!
Yeah, good kills, man.
It's crazy because this is like, well, we'll get into like we have to talk about the twist to get around it, but we'll talk about it in a minute. Like some scenes where like, damn, they're like jigsaw motherfuckers. They're building traps and shit, trapping motherfuckers and blowing people up, and this, you know, like when that deputy dies from that giant cross thing, like holy shit. Oh, yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. It's like one of the best kills in the movie. It's like you just don't expect it. And you know, it's cool to see Tom Atkins in this movie. He doesn't really do much, but like when he just clocks that shotgun, I'm like, oh my god, this is fucking amazing. It's like Night of the Creeps all over again.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with the Omar Epps character, since he's supposed to be like the Loomis in this movie, you know, obviously, I think if they did go with Halloween 3, it would probably like Sheriff Brackett, because we know what happened to Loomis at the end of that fucking movie, the last one, you know. But enough of that. We're not going to compare it because it's trying to be its own thing. But you know, he's kind of like the Loomis of this movie, Omar Epps, and you know, it has some like giallo feels and like a lot of like the beginning scenes, like with like, you know, you get like the one jump into like the Halloween after the next one, and you know, and it's like that mystery scene. It feels very Giallo-esque with like the investigation shit, because you don't know who to trust. There's a lot of red herrings, and obviously there's a reason for that, and we'll get into it in a minute. But I really like the reveal. I thought that would have been so fucking cool for like a Halloween sequel. Like, say, if, you know, Michael Myers couldn't walk again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one of us.
A cult of fucking Myers, you know? Like, cult of trick. It's fucking so good. I really enjoyed that the first time I ever seen it. I still do, even though I did see it coming, because, of course, obviously, yeah, you know, when you see it, I really like that aspect. And the one thing that I will take points off, Omar Epps should have fucking been dead at the end of this fucking movie.
He got sliced pretty bad.
He was getting stabbed like 50,000 times.
Yeah, yeah. His stomach and a little bit everywhere at this point.
You know, he should have been fucking dead, but you know, that's a criticism. Like, if you kill fucking Tom Atkins, don't have the just kill fucking Omar Epps too. Come on, you know. But you know, that's the only knock of this movie. Some of the like the fucking shit like that. Like, it kind of ends kind of like, you know, the heroes are alive. They're okay. Like, come on, kill one of them. You know, I like weird sadistic. I like some killer character, main character death, you know. Like we talked about with the movie Them. Like, they kill the main character of that movie. You know, but, you know, I like aspects of movies like that. But, you know, and, you know, some of the weird subplots where then, you know, I know why they kept going back to the girl with the father in the hospital. But, you know, some of that shit wasn't needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of drawn out in some scenes. It is a long movie. It's an hour and 40 minutes. But, yeah, you know, I like the characters for the most part, like the main ones, because it feels like an investigational. It does have, like, the aspects that I do like about the Saw movie. Spoiler alert, I'm not a fucking fan of the Saw movies. But, you know, I like kind of like the investigational shit of those movies, which I wish there was more of them. That's why I was kind of excited for Spiral when that came out, because it was going to be more about that.
And I really like the crime scene investigation, as far as him leaving the message with Denver. You know, it almost reminds you of the Charlie Manson kind of murders, real CSI kind of shit.
Yeah.
And like you said, the Saw, I mean, he's even got some booby traps going on that's kind of cool and creative, as far as the gravestone. That one was pretty neat.
One of my favorite kills is when he just jumps on that dude's shoulders and just stabs him right in the fucking head.
Yeah. That was brutal.
They show mean spirited gore, and you know, mostly practical. Most of the kills are practical in this, which, you know, you can't really say for My Bloody Valentine, because they shot it for 3D, of course. So a lot of it was CGI in that film, unfortunately. So I kind of like see how them going back down to basics with this one and that aspect. But
I mean, it fills your slasher void, man. If you're wanting to just check out a new slasher, I'd definitely say check out Trick.
You know, I was getting a lot of shit because I gave this movie a high rating on Bloody Bits, because a lot of people went to watch it. I'm not going to name any names, but, you know, like, God bless me why he gave him that rating. You know, I'm like, I liked it. I don't know what to tell you. It was something different. Yes. It had some, especially when you look at the aspect, why is this guy in one area then he's into the next? It's explained in this movie.
Yeah. So it's almost like a Scream thing, where Scream gave us two killers. This gives us like almost like a cult.
With fucking spoiler alert, Jamie Kennedy is the fucking head of the fucking cult. It's fucking amazing. I was like,
tossed back into some Scream, mixed in with Halloween, like this horror movie, mind blown.
And I like who's in the group. They have someone like in every bit of covering. Like, you have a doctor, which was Jamie Kennedy. I'm not gonna say who else, but there's other people that were involved that could help each other along the way in case something happened. Society. They could sidetrack and be like, nope, it's not them.
Yeah, for sure. You know, in that aspect, I really like. It's a good movie. It's a good movie. It's a fun movie. I really enjoyed revisiting this one. I'm glad you guys liked it as much as you guys did. So are you guys ready to get into some ratings?
Sure thing.
Dovey, you go first, buddy.
Yeah, man, this was a first-time watch. Overall impressed, man. Like I said, definitely as far as the slasher genre, I feel like it does what you want, man. It's interesting enough characters, investigation, whodunit kind of thing going on, but definitely as far as the gore factor, nice. I really like the killer aspect. Like I said, he's more precise and has this ninja-like ability. He's the most, probably the fastest killing slasher I've ever seen. You know, most slashers you see are really like drawn out, and you know they take their time. But this guy's fucking in and out, and you don't know what hit you. Like, I really like that about this killer, man. It's a fun time. Still, there's some parts that float. You know, it could have been a little shorter.
Yeah,
like, it could have flowed a little better. But still, first time watch, I'm coming to 7.5. Definitely above average, really good slasher trick.
I'll go next. I originally gave this an 8 on Bloody Bits. I went down a tad lower. I still really like this movie, but you know, I was a different critic back then. You know, and you know, in that aspect where, you know, I started to notice things, and you know, I'm trying to be a little bit more fair in the way I view movies sometimes. 7.5. I'm with Debbie. Really enjoyed it for what it was. Like I said earlier, some of it is kind of overlong with some of the scenes in it, and you know, characters' happy endings. Like really, like what? You know, but yeah. Overall, still highly enjoyable.
All right. Yeah. Right off the beginning, we had this party, and when Trick goes nuts, he kills like almost everybody at this party. It's insane. It's so fast-paced with the kills, and we find out like how he jumps out the window, then he lives, and supposedly he's all over the place. Again, yeah, that ninja-like skills is insane, and so many kills, so many cool deaths. Tom Atkins, awesome as that movie projectionist in the church, and people are getting killed outside, people are getting killed inside. You're like, what the fuck's going on here? But I'm liking it. And the reveal I thought was really good. I thought how they did that was cool, and how everyone plays a part that they need to play. They can each cover each other's asses. They can help keep the trick alive, pretty much. And they plays a trick on us, which I thought that was pretty cool how they did that. So I get this one a 7.5 out of 10.
Yes.
Would you be happy if they made a sequel to this?
I would.
Like,
you know,
they make like a franchise out of it?
I would see. It depends on how it goes, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, since we know the reveal, it kind of like, okay, it's gonna be like, it's gonna turn into like the Cult of Thorns storyline. Yeah. Or like a Saw sequel. Maybe two movies. Maybe just one sequel. I don't want like a franchise.
We don't need Trick Part 8.
We don't need Saw 6 after the dude's dead. You know.
Right. But overall, cool, man. It really, that Halloween mythos mixed in with the slasher, too. You only have so many of those, so that's another plus with this one.
For sure. Well, I'm glad you guys liked it enough.
Yeah, but, all three were pretty good to watch during Halloween. Like, none of them were real stinkers. Some were great, and some was like, okay.
Yeah, it sounded like The Cavern or like Tony Moran's autobiography.
I did watch that Tony Moran movie, Beg, the other day. It was okay.
Was he in that? I didn't even know that.
He's like the main star in it.
Oh, my God.
Like, when I met him at the convention, we're at a Q&A, and he's talking about how he played Michael Myers, you know, the whole spiel, even though he's in it for like 2 minutes.
Oh, fuck him, then.
It's like, oh, I didn't even want to do it because blah, 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 blah. And that's why I didn't do part two. I didn't think anyone would like a movie about this.
Yeah, that's
like you're putting yourself down and you're putting the movie down in front of everybody that are all Halloween fans. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's classic.
So, like I said earlier, fuck Tony Moran.
And then he talks about this new movie called Beg. And the way it sounded off sounded like, all right, I'll check it out. It's got a ton of big name characters in it. It's like, it was okay. It could, the mask looked pretty awesome. And the kills were pretty cool. But it's a typical slasher. But it was fun. Tony Moran's character is kind of annoying.
Because, yeah, fuck Tony Moran. See?
He needs that mask on, doesn't he?
He's no Aaron Murray. He's not. He's not a sister. He's not fucking Joni from Happy Days. Fuck him.
Hashtag fuck Tony Moran.
I'm gonna have James Cox put that in the fucking thumbnail somewhere on the show. Like, this would fuck Tony Moran, and then like this bubble, big red letters. You know, but, you know, that's fucking great. I'm glad you guys like Trick as much as you did. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm actually going to be doing something brand new for this show. We're actually going to take another break. You know why? I'm going to play somebody's promos. We're going to be doing that from now on. Because I like shows. And I think we should help our other podcasters out.
I dig it, man.
Cool.
So we'll be right back after this, and we'll do a quick outro, and we'll be back right after this. Listen to this.
Yeah. Hey, guys, like calm down, guys. Calm down. I'm trying to record something.
You heard
here.
The man zip it. Go ahead, Skippy. It's all yours.
I appreciate that. Hey, all you podcast listeners out there, looking for something crazy to listen to? Well, look no further, because it doesn't get any weirder than this show.
Hey, what do you mean weird? I'll bust your f***ing skull.
But I wasn't talking about you, Louie. I was talking about this show, Rad Movie-Rama.
I heard that show was dangerous.
Yeah, man, I heard that show was hot.
Let me take it, Skippy. What this show is about us looking at movies that are really quite terrible.
Come on, man. I love these movies. These are some of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, I like them too, because they're going to squeeze somebody's brain out.
From 70s grindhouse drive-in classics to VHS explosion of the 80s and the birth of cable TV. It's kind of all covered right here at
Rad Movie-Rama.
You can find Rad Movie-Rama and all the voices in my head at Legion Podcast, or iTunes, or Spotify, or Stitcher, or YouTube, yada yada yada.
Oh yeah! That's Rad Movie-Rama. Available everywhere you listen to podcasts under Rick Radio. Oh yeah!
And we are here to close the show, guys. That was our Halloween spectacular. It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah,
definitely enjoyed it, man.
One of the funner ones we did in a while. I had fun. I said fuck a lot. I haven't said fuck in a while.
You like to say fuck. It's normal. It's like a normal word for when we talk to him.
Yeah, for sure. It happens. It's my nature.
Yep.
But you guys have anything exciting? I don't know exactly what we're going to do for the next show, so I wanted to throw an idea out for you.
What's that?
Uh-oh.
We did an 80s one already. Top 10 90s action list.
Nice. I'd be down.
Boy. All right, I'm cool. Ooh,
Jackie Chan, here we come.
Yeah.
And I think I know who Jean-Claude we can have a return guest of. I have to message Andy right after this show. He'll be excited because the last time we did the show, why no Andy, yo?
Yeah, man. Why no Andy? He's our list, homie.
You know, but we'll get him on again. And, you know, it should be fun. It should be fun. And plus, we have another extra week off so we could prep and think more about it. So that's good, at least.
Yeah.
The secrets of podcasting.
We got another commentary. We definitely got other ideas out there, so.
For sure. But anyways, guys, as always, thank you for checking out the show. Check it out on the Dark Discussions Network. Subscribe to our feeds everywhere in the podcatchers. Look for us everywhere. Thanks, Philip, for putting our shows out there. Also, I think I joked enough about this, but you know where we're ending this episode with, Dub?
Trick Love to Kids.
It's Trick Daddy featuring CeeLo Green, motherfucker. Oh, yeah.
Taking it to the dungeon.
Hell yeah. So we'll be back after in a few weeks with our top 10 of the 90s action. And let's get out of here. Peace.
Later. Peace.
Huh. That's the sound of the hand.
True serum. That's what we call it. And God for the thugs, too.
Money roll.
From the top of the lip, sunshine and in that. Work your wood gray. Let the twinkies spin. Get you glass. Fix the coke in the hand. It's quite alright. Throw in the wind.
Ass nigga. Call a green neck bone eating ass nigga. Always wear my jeans baggy stack. He no Florida, Georgia, South Cadillac. Rolled up, he spam a sandwich up. Sugar water, egg, mayonnaise sandwich. Share the room with my four more brothers. For one home for him, one no more covers. A little bad motherfucker. Always wrong and always in trouble. None of my teachers ain't like this. Make it so bad, poor head said more like me. You brought it the way I did. You got to understand, Trick Love the Kids. Trick Love the Kids.
Sunshine and in that. Work your wood grain. Let the twinkies spin. Get you glass. Fix the coke in the hand. It's quite alright. Throw in the wind.
Every church Chevy put duds on that bitch. Kelly, I'm a green niggas loving this shit. And when a minute I act a fool, you don't like how I'm living, bitch. Fuck you. That's right, I'm a rude ass nigga. Quick to do you, cut a fool ass nigga. Wearing that by the buck, 6'5", and the nigga can't fuck, plus the boy gets live. He no legs, wings, and show ties. Eat him up, then switch sides.
Hardcore, working condom, my lord to the floor. Cure the endure with a loaded 4-4. Is your winning crying more for your fuck with nine? Disrespect, I'll disconnect your line. But I sit watch when shit hot, you get shot. The fire, the fury, you fuck with it not. The style in the grave, yeah, my face and my face. For me and my ace, I lay down the whole page. Recognize, this is a verbalized surprise. Fucking with me, wrong ain't wise. If a old shows, old clothes, big old back rolls, that's all a nigga knows. Throw your elbows, I'm slicker than I suppose. Hoes on toes, but my jewelry froze. You know how it goes, these young niggas don't want it like that. Go off and get the gas, silence your shit, cast my ass. So pass out, last out, pass cold. Sticky so tricky to the trick, like trash. No filler, a gold brother, no, I'm a whole chiller. I'm clean, look, I mean, but you ain't no killer.
Trick
a lot
of kids.
Sunshine and I
and all the drove, and all the smoke. My throat, it makes me choke like a serial killer with squeezing on my throat box. And the clutch is a danger, but not a stranger on the block. It's a T-Ferry, Reaper beat, blowing my chest up. Beat. Ride from the club, try my best not to mess up. A professor of this lyrical thing. I take the purest strain of this slang and inject it into your veins. Did your heart stop, bang? Drop top fade. Aviator shades with a rear front face. Moving through the dirty at a slow pill's pace. Kinda like the turtle and the rabbit in the race. To the finish line, I jumped a pair of Reeboks. So bright, so fresh, snow white, with no socks. Then I slipped on some of that O with the wing. I'm punching straight out the pack like a 3-beat of a lat. Dick, before you slack, yeah, you got to prepare it and mat. Yeah, with your jacket over track. Dick, not intended for any illegal purposes like anthrax and smallpox and surplus to murderers.
You got to understand, Trick Love the Kids. Trick Love the Kids.
Sunshine and that. Work your wood grain. Let the twinkies